Community Connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move, also by Tallgrass Motors and by First Baptist Church. We'll talk the election issue that you have the opportunity to vote tomorrow when we continue in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
And I will remind you, we are also live on Facebook, on the Bruin Bond Facebook page, and I'm joined first of all by Superintendent of Schools Chuck McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Charlie.
It is Election Day tomorrow.
That's right. We're very excited.
But you did have a great open house yesterday at Central. I want to spend just a little bit of time on that this morning.
Yeah, thank you. We had a wonderful day yesterday at Central. We had probably over 400 people at Central. We had a great ribbon cutting. Heard from myself, current principal Ryan Huff, as well as we heard from Ambler architect Scott Ambler spoke, and then Caleb Rovenstein, another Bartlesville graduate who has overseen the project, and then Representative Earl Sears, who worked at Central Middle School for 32 years, gave an outstanding speech to us, and also encouraging folks to continue to support our schools. We had a great day yesterday.
It was a great day, and I'm sure people were impressed with what they saw. I've had the opportunity, as those who have attended board meetings over the past 18 months or so, to see the monthly progress reports, and it looks great.
It's beautiful. We're so pleased, so glad. I'm so glad that our Dr. Quinn and previous boards had this long-term plan to set us up for this success, and our communities that supported us so that we are able to use Central as a school. People are amazed when they see the building, especially when you see that first floor. I mean, I had several people try to find out, we want to see the basement. I said, no, you're here.
Where's the dungeon? What do you do with the dungeon?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's, but it turned out beautiful. We still do have some finishing touches there at Central, but we're having school there, and we're looking forward now to continue with our plan. We've got our high school set up now. We're in our second year at the high school. It's been wonderful, opportunity for our kids. Madison's in their new home, which was Mid-High, was Sooner High, which is a much better facility than the old Madison that we are not using anymore. And then obviously now that we have Central back into their renovated, beautiful home, which really the interior now, I feel like it now matches the exterior. It's been a beautiful building, but if you haven't been in it in a while, just knows it needed to be updated. So we're very excited. We feel like we're set up now for, we've got a great long-term plan, and we're set up for success. So we're looking forward to build off that with the bond issue vote tomorrow.
Conversation just before we went on the air, could just kind of make sure that people know that there are no classes in the building that was built as Madison this year, right?
That's right. We had some questions come up at the Friday forum last week. Some folks were confused, thinking we were talking about doing some renovations at the old Madison. That's not the case. I know we have some different names now, but Madison is now what was the Mid-High, what was Sooner High School. So that is now Madison Middle School. The old Madison, we've actually gone through the process. We just received the survey, and we'll be taking it out to see if there's any interest in someone purchasing that. We'll probably have that as a discussion item at the September board meeting. But our plan is to get rid of that square footage for our district. That's always been the plan, and that's what we're going to do. So we're not spending any money at the old Madison. You might have seen people, folks might have seen people taking trucks over to get things out to get moved into the Central, but that's all that's been going on there.
And I know you brought a couple of board, well, one current board member, one former board member along. Whether you want to address it or whether you want to have one of them address it, the plan is to eventually market that Madison building and hopefully relieve it from the school district having to maintain and mow and all those things.
That's right, Charlie. Our addition at the high school is about the exact same square footage as the old Madison. So actually what we've done is we've set ourselves up for long-term success, what's best for our kids. And so our plan for that old Madison is to get rid of that square footage. And so we will be sending it out for bid if there's anyone interested in purchasing that building. Actually, probably this week. We've been waiting on, we had to get an appraisal and get the survey complete, which we have done. And we plan to take that to the board at our September board meeting as a discussion, possible action item. We'll see what comes in. We have bond money set aside from previous bond issues to demolish the building if we don't have someone that we feel like that would be a good suitor for that building.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We'll check in with you near the end of the program. Board President Scott Bilger, nice to have you in here this morning, sir.
Thank you, Charlie.
And Scott, as I recall, I believe I've got the phraseology correctly, this was an idea so that the board could take better control of its financial future. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, as everybody's heard, we've had declining state revenues. We've had issues with, for now, probably 5-6 years on funding at the state level continuing to decline. And what this really is an effort to allow us to take control of our own future and control, what the future of our schools look like, what our abilities are to provide services for our kids, and continue to see academic achievement and overall achievement with our students at the levels that we're used to by taking control of that locally instead of relying on the state funds to continue. And where we've seen them decline, we've got to do something to address that, and that's what this bond issue is about.
Up until recently, state law, pretty much bond issues were for building buildings or improving buildings or something like that, but because of some different interpretations and changes now, you're able to do, well, what you have been doing with the education authority that allows the pass-through money to actually do all this work that's been done recently all at the same time.
So, yeah, school finance is difficult to understand, but I think if you think of it in general fund and bond fund, which general fund is probably pushing 90% of our total operational funds, that fund's capped by the Constitution. We can't vote to increase that even if we wanted to, but that fund also has to pay all of our teachers' salaries and benefits. So the bond fund is subject to local control and can pay teachers' salaries or cannot pay teachers and salaries, take teacher salaries and benefits. So the exercise is to move those non-salaried and benefit dollars out of the general fund and into a bond fund so we save as much general fund money as possible to pay salaries and benefits for our teachers.
And there is precedent around the area. Other school districts that Bartlesville compares itself to have been doing this sort of thing now for a number of years.
Yes, very. We've had peer districts that have done this for probably 15, 20 years, and it's just been through this declining state revenue environment where legally you can bond any kind of purchase that is considered an asset on the books. So you can bond textbooks, you can bond facilities, which is historically what we've done, but now as we see these operational issues come up, we need to look and be able to bond things that we maybe haven't in Bartlesville in the past.
And some of those things, I know we in past programs have highlighted things like the Chromebooks and other technology that the students, I think, are ready to get their hands on.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's probably the biggest opportunity in front of our district now. As we said, we've addressed some facilities needs, but it's probably the biggest opportunity for improvement that we have as a district. We've invested significant money in technology in the past, but a lot of that's been on the backbone and the infrastructure piece. So now we're ready to get to the piece where the device is in the hands of the kids, and that's a really exciting opportunity. Now, it is definitely, I've heard different things about, are we stepping out there? Is that something that has some precedent? Is it tested? Is it proven? And the answer to all of those questions is a resounding yes. I think you had a story last week. Owosso sent out a Chromebook to every student in their secondary schools last week.
Spent so about $2 million to do it.
Correct. And so it's not only tested and proven, it's also becoming a competitive issue. It's something that we need to do for our kids in Bartlesville. And it may not be the way I learned, but it's the way kids today learn. And the other piece of it is a Chromebook is less than the cost of 2 textbooks, and we're expecting it to replace all 6 textbooks that the kids use.
Okay, now somebody might say, well, the state has textbook money that they give you. How does that figure into this whole conversation?
Well, actually, the textbook money was not allocated this year, but the textbook money can go to purchase curriculum, period, and this could be considered curriculum. So we're looking at it as the price of a Chromebook versus the price of 6 textbooks. We have some kids who take 7 classes, but that will eventually replace our textbooks. And the added benefit to that is when the new edition comes out, we don't need to buy a new edition, we download the new edition. And the kids keep right on moving with the most current curriculum that is available. The teachers are able to tailor some of that to the students' needs, to kind of create their own problems, examples. And one other question I've heard quite a bit is, what about the kids who get home and don't have a Wi-Fi access or an internet access? We've been down that path with all of our peer districts. We've benchmarked with them. And basically, when the kid leaves the building that night, it's ready for he or she to go home and use it. And it's got everything that it needs. They don't need an internet connection at home. And so each time they come back in our building, it refreshes and it's ready to go and for them to use it the next day.
Okay, so if this is one item, and I want to make sure that people also understand there are actually 2 questions on the ballot this time, right?
That's correct. Yes, state law requires that we put any transportation issue on its own as a separate line item on the ballot. So the buses and vehicles that are part of this bond issue are on a separate question, and then everything else is on its own question.
Okay, one last for you, and then I want to move along to our second guest here, or actually third guest. If this vote passes, then will you be able to hire back educational staff that were riffed due to the budget cuts last year?
Well, what we're hoping to be able to do is to get back to that, be able to maintain what we have as of this year. That's our first priority. So we have to see what the state does. So out of the entire budget, the bond issue, the bond money is not the biggest part. So there's several variables that'll go into that question, but that's absolutely, staffing is at the forefront of our focus. Student-teacher ratio is a very big deal for us. That's what we believe we've been able to maintain our level of academic excellence as a result of. And so that will always be at the forefront of our discussions. There's just a lot of variables that will go into that question. And so how that plays out, that's definitely our goal, but we have a lot of things that still have to fall in place to be able to do that.
Okay, Scott Bilger. We will continue more on a Community Connection in just a moment on K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
K1 Community Connection continuing on this Monday morning. Of course, the polls will be open tomorrow, 7 to 7 o'clock, an opportunity for you to express yourself at the ballot box. Vanessa Drummond, a couple of misconceptions that I think people need to have cleared up as far as who can vote in this election, because I think there are some folks that you told me before we started you heard something that you had to, specially register for this election or something.
Right. I want to make sure everybody knows, if you are registered to vote for the president and you live in our school district, you can vote in this bond election tomorrow, and we need you.
Okay, and what about people who live in Osage County, Osage Hills or Bowery
yes,
School District?
Yes, those small schools that feed into the Bartlesville School District, you are eligible to vote on this bond as well, and we need you tomorrow.
Okay. Voter participation, and one of my pet peeve topics all the time, but I'll let you address it this time instead of me. Why is it important that people vote in this election?
Well, there's so many different angles on why it's important. For parents of kids in the school, your child will be directly affected by the outcome of this bond. I have 2 kids currently in school, and this year, because we've had to lay off or cut teaching positions, our Bartlesville class sizes will be bigger. I think that the administrators have dealt with that as well as they can. But with the way our state finances are looking, I believe we'll be seeing more cuts at the local level, which will mean more teachers being laid off. So if we don't pass this bond, it's highly likely that our class sizes will go up even more next year. So parents of kids in schools, it will directly affect us. If your kids are no longer in school, or if you don't have kids here in Bartlesville, it also affects you. Bartlesville draws families because of its great schools. When my husband and I moved here about 20 years ago, our school district was one of the main reasons we chose Bartlesville. And that remains true for so many employees and people who choose either to live in Bartlesville or other suburbs of Tulsa. It's become harder for us to find doctors to move here to Bartlesville. I've talked with lots of doctor spouses trying to recruit them to move here, and our schools are a really big selling point for people to come to Bartlesville. I think that's true also for many of our large employers in town. Their people can live anywhere, and if they choose not to live in Bartlesville, it becomes a downward spiral for our city. For the value of our homes and for life in general in our town. So in my opinion, well, the cost of the property tax is $36 a year per $100,000 your home is assessed for. To me, that's a small price to pay for the value we'll receive for our city and our schools.
So just reflecting back, what I think I hear you say is that if, particularly for families with parents with families who choose to live here or choose to live someplace else, it's the quality of instruction, which I think we've always maintained, but sometimes it's those other items, the technology, the other intangibles that are influencing that decision.
Right. That's when parents come to look at our schools, they're comparing us with everybody else, and that's how they make a decision on where to live. So our teachers are the best in the state. Our kids are getting a great education, but we also need to keep that level high to keep people coming to Bartlesville.
What are you hearing from the teaching community? I know you have all kinds of connections. Do they see this as a positive?
Yes, definitely. I think teachers across Oklahoma are worried about the financial situation of our schools. I know many teachers who've left our Bartlesville schools in the last couple years for better situations, whether they're teaching out of state, teaching at a private school, or going out of teaching altogether. We've lost our fantastic debate teacher. We've lost an AP English teacher, AP chemistry teacher, librarians, and the list really just goes on and on. It's as a parent, that's scary because we have excellent people in Bartlesville and we want to keep those teachers here.
Okay, so at this point in time, and either one of you two, because from the board perspective, this bond issue, assuming that it passes tomorrow, when can we expect to see dollars coming back into the general fund, or actually replacing those dollars in the general fund, I guess is a better way to answer that question.
So after Tuesday, we fully expect to have money in and addressing this school year's budget. So we think as early as November, possibly maybe December, that we could have bond money in hand to be able to start addressing the things that are itemized in this bond issue.
Voter complacency. If people, I'll say forget, because we're human, we do.
Sure.
But is that your biggest challenge for tomorrow's vote?
I don't know what our biggest challenge is. I think, I think we face a lot of issues. It's not I don't think anybody's fired up about the current political world at the federal level. So, that's why I hope we don't end up with after after effects of that. But I guess what I would ask people to think about, you talked about academic excellence kind of being the standard in Bartlesville, and I wholeheartedly believe that, and that's the core value that we focus all of our efforts around. But lately, we talked about the other items, the intangibles, the extracurriculars. 2 years ago, we had our first team state championship in 17 years. We've had four others since then. We hosted a home playoff football game for the first time in 27 years. Had a kid win the National Debate Championship. Our kids are doing what they need to do. They're having tremendous opportunities, and it's now time for us to step up and to create that across the board for every kid and every activity we can. If we're going to have a program, we want to be the best that we can be in it. And we're not gold plating anything. This isn't new construction. There's one small 1,000-square-foot locker room that's new construction as a part of this. And really, that's nothing more than creating space to convert what they're currently using into an orchestra room. This is about trying to refurbish some pieces of the district that we weren't able to when we reconfigured and went to a four-year high school. And this is about doing things to maintain what we currently have. We went through and identified maintenance needs over the next 5 years, boilers, chillers, roofs, those type of things. If this bond doesn't pass and a boiler goes out, we have to have heat in a school. So the only place that can come is from the same fund that we pay teachers out of. Unless we pass a bond issue, then we've got money to address those things. And so there's been a lot of, let's look down the road, let's see what's coming, and let's come up with a plan to address that.
And I don't know if you or Mr. McCauley want to address this. Bartlesville Schools traditionally have a bond oversight committee that kind of does the third-party verification that these dollars are spent in the way that we told the voters we would, right?
Absolutely. That's something we'll continue with. I think a prime example of that, I mean, just to recap, you know, the 2013 bond issue, the two major items that we wanted to do, one was have a four-year high school. This is the second year we're in it. Two, we wanted to refurbish Central, wanted to renovate Central. We're in it. Those things happened. We're there. Madison is in their new home. So we have done what we've done what we said we're going to do, and we'll continue to be open and transparent about those ways, and we'll be happy about those about what we've done, and be happy to answer any questions as we move forward, which will include that bond oversight committee.
And again, if you have questions, the website is BruinBond.com. There's a lot of good stuff. Contact any one of the folks that are on the air with me this morning. I'm sure they will answer your questions. And then to go vote tomorrow. That's our Community Connection on K1.
ONN News, I'm Randy Renner. A woman's jailed after authorities say she admitted to stabbing and killing another woman. 21-year-old Macy Tiger accused of fatally stabbing 24